No, this is the double header. This is the double header where we talk about the sport of politics and the politics of sport. I'm joined by none other than Mark Shields and David Brooks. All right, let's talk. The Republicans seem to have a debate once every, I don't know, 2 days, 3 days now. It's fast and furious. So how are they really going to take attack against each other? Is it because at some point they need to product differentiate and not just saying, oh, we don't like the guy that's in the White House now?
That's the question of the debate at the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California, on the 7th of September. And I think this is the first debate, I know it's the first debate, in which Rick Perry, the lately admitted and anointed front runner, is entered a debate. I don't think, I may be wrong, I'm not sure he's ever debated. So it'll be interesting to see Michelle Bachmann has been totally eclipsed, mm-hmm. for the time being anyway, by his entry. So has Mitt Romney. How each of them will develop a strategy for dealing with it. I think that'll be as interesting as anything. Plus, he'll get some tough questions based upon he did something that politicians are always warned against. He put all of his thoughts, random and other, in a book. Mm. And he didn't do it 20 years ago. He did it 10 months ago.
Yeah, the interesting question is how Romney is going to go after him. So far, I think you're doing it in an ineffective manner, saying he's a career politician, whereas Romney's got the private sector. I don't think that's going to stick. I don't think you can really hit him from the right and say, oh, he's part of government. The guy's pretty anti-government. That's where all his positions have been, so I don't think that's effective. Bill Galston of the Brookings Institution had a pretty good thought, which would be gutsy but maybe effective, which is to go after him for attacking the New Deal. In his book, he's mm-hmm. pretty anti-Social Security, not just lately but from the beginning. Pretty anti-Medicare, a lot of the New Deal societies, and Romney could say, hey, I'm against the Great Society, I'm against a lot of the big government welfare programs that Barack Obama's for, but I'm for those programs. And those are pretty popular even among Republican primary voters. It would be a very gutsy thing to do to stand up for even part of government, but it would differentiate them.
Okay, the president's speech on jobs next week, the fact that it's on Thursday now, not Wednesday, that he had liked it, is this a non-event event? I mean, the sense that not just the content of it, but the back and forth between the Congress denying the president's request to be addressing them all at once. Too much made out of this, or is this a sign of weakness on the Obama administration?
It was a sign that August really was very therapeutic and changing. Of the approach of both Republicans in the Congress and the White House. I mean, a largeness of spirit. The president had a hemorrhage loss of support, which Bill McInturff and others have attributed to not simply the product of the debt ceiling arrangement, but the way it was done. A loss of confidence in Washington, greater loss of confidence in Republicans. But to start off, the new year, which is really what post Labor Day is, the new year, by arguing back and forth, they obviously knew what the date was, and it was a little bit of a gotcha. We'll have it on the night of the Republican debate. And then he was the only thing that saved him was that John Boehner was uncharacteristically surly and unpleasant, and for the first time in history, denied the request of the Speaker of the House, denied a request for a president to address joint session of Congress.
Part of the strategy?
Yeah. Well, I do think there's a little machismo in the White House to sort of stop right over their debate, and a little machismo saying, hey, we got the chance to stop them. I'm sure it redounded to both their discredit, but just a symptom of, you couldn't pick up the phone beforehand and say, hey, what's good for you, what's good for me? This is what normal people do when they're trying to set something up.
Right. So as we transition now to sports, I believe David Brooks' tie has won, though your highlighter here.
My highlighter, I think, does make a statement.
College football started just a little while ago, or I should say that all the major games are going to start now. We actually have a piece, this is being taped on Friday, about the scandal at Miami Hurricanes. I mean, how significant is this on the league when we look at the kinds of things that happen in Miami? And actually, they're just indicative of things that have been happening across several different colleges and universities over several years.
Not at the University of Chicago, that should be said. No, but Miami, Ohio State had a little scandal there, USC,
yep.
Obviously.
Yep.
Listen, there's big money. The recruiting is out of control. There are bad donors running around there. Though most of the programs are pretty good. You could say all of college sports is a scandal. A lot of these kids are not students by any real means, especially in some of these programs. But, you know, there's a lot of great programs. They do rally the schools together. I've just been on a little campus tour with my daughter, and they really do have a tremendous effect of rallying the school. I don't know if they build donors, I don't know if they build alumni, but they really do create a sense of spirit. Some of the schools, I was just at Wisconsin and Madison, they have a very good team this year. And the whole student body sort of gets rallied behind them. Duke, the great basketball team, really unifies the campus. So on the whole,
you're for sports.
I'm still really controversial. I love it.
I think David's pro-American.
He is.
You know, and I think that differentiates us. No, I don't argue. I do think that the NCAA does a terrible job. They pick people up for double parking outside an orphanage and kind of overlook the really ugly stuff that does go on. And they did at one point say it was going to cost you scholarships if your graduation rate fell off. I mean, if the people you admitted did not graduate in 5, sometimes 6 years, that would be penalized against you. I mean, that they're not pretending that these are scholar athletes, but that seems to have gone by the wayside. I don't think there's any question that there are excesses and there are outrages, and it's only the scrutiny that attaches that's going to keep it in any kind of check.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to see, somebody should do a study of where kids at these tip or top programs are 10 years out of graduation. Mm-hmm. Have they actually benefited from going to college, or were they just football players for 4 years who got no lasting benefit out of their college education or potential degree?
Okay, and finally, since this is a family-friendly program, who's our exalted guest watching the doubleheader?
This is my younger son, Aaron Brooks. Walk over here, Aaron. He's wearing a political T-shirt. He's just been reading a libertarian book, so he's got a libertarian T-shirt on right now.
Thanks for stopping by. Yeah. That's we get those viewers young.
That's our only young viewer.
Look, last week we had like 6,000 plus views, so it ain't no joke.
Really? Is that right?
Well, it's kind of a joke, but
this is the doubleheader.
Thank you, Harry.
Thanks for joining us.